Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, your host of Ask a Coach, the Windermere podcast. In this podcast, we'll tackle some of your toughest real estate questions. Each episode will provide you with detailed answers and proven solutions to some of the biggest challenges facing realtors today. Thank you for listening. Good morning, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, and welcome to Ask a Windermere Coach. This is our podcast where we try to tackle some of the toughest real estate questions and try to provide you with some detailed answers and proven solutions. And today, I'm delighted because I have my good friend, Nick Hansen. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm great. So, Nick, just for the listeners, I just want to let them know, who you are. Maybe they know you, maybe they don't. Nick's been in real estate since 1999. And right, Nick, 1999?
Yep.
And Nick coaches a lot of agents. How many agents do you think you've coached so far up year to date, Nick, just over the years?
Oh, gosh, since I started, I'm going to guess right, probably just below 1,000, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Something like that, several hundred for sure.
Yeah. And Nick's one of our coaches with Windermere Coaching. And Nick, we were talking last week, and you had said, tell me what type of increases have you seen with your coaching clients in 2021?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thanks, Michael. So what I did is I went back and did an analysis on the people that I worked with for 12 months in 2021. And on average had an increase in gross commission income of 82%. That's the highest I've ever had with my coaching clients. And, the thing that I guess I'm most excited about is there's some veteran people in there, been in the business 20 plus years, some 30 years. So we're not talking about, rookies and trying to double their income. But yeah, 82%. So I was elated with that.
And if you had to kind of like put your finger on, what was it about those individuals specifically in your mind that allowed them to have that level of success? I mean, obviously they're coaching with you and they're investing in themselves, but what do you think it is?
If I had to narrow it down to one thing, and gosh, I wish I could tell you something that's just earth shattering, but if I had to say one thing, I would say it's the commitment to the scorecard.
Yeah.
So the scorecard, for those that may not know, it's a list of what activities you need to do on a weekly basis to generate the call that says, I want to list my home or I want to buy my home. But literally it's winning the week and being productive. And I would say, right now, Michael, in fact, I had three owners call me last week that are a little frustrated. And they're like, man, Nick, agents aren't showing up. There's no inventory. And I go, oh my gosh, there's no inventory. There's nothing to show our buyers. So what should we be doing? We should be killing it in the contact world, right?
Yes.
We should be all over our people reaching out. We've got all the time in the world to do that. And so I'm like, the best of the best right now are really anchoring those relationships. They're planting the seeds, cultivating the seeds, ready for the harvest, where the average agent I see in this country right now is pretty much sort of hibernating. They're hibernating.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. In fact, on my coaching calls, Windermere is one of the few companies, I think the only company now that actually has an economist on staff, right? Matthew Gardner. And Matthew did the 10 predictions for 2022. And then he just rolled out the Q4 reports, the Gardner reports. And, and I have people that are saying, well, what do I send or what's going on or what's happening? Like, we have all this content. We have all this great information. And going back to your point, are you reaching out to your people? Are you educating them on what 2022 is going to have in store for them when it comes to appreciation, when it comes to interest rates, when it comes to what's happening in real estate? Maybe they want to buy an investment property. There's all kinds of conversations we can have that I totally agree with you, which kind of leads into this podcast today. So Nick and I were talking. I said, Nick, what are some things we see, right, where people are not succeeding? Because here's the thing, there's a great book I'm reading now by Trevor Mowat. It's called Getting Back to Neutral. And he says, what are you just willing not to do? It's not so much what you're willing to do, but what are you willing not to do? And so Nick and I came up with some things, and Nick shot these off to me in an email the other day and just said, here's some places where we see agents that when they're not having success, here are the things that we see on a regular basis. And so let's talk about the first one, Nick. So the first one is, and you, I love this, it says they forget that real estate is a contact sport. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we know that real estate is, it's a relationship type business, and you want to build relationships. You want the foundation of your business, you know, the people that know, like, and trust you to grow. And often we catch ourselves with, what am I supposed to do today? Hoping that the phone is going to ring. And instead, if you're not happy with where you're at, or you don't have a lot of business in the pipeline is, then I would challenge you to how many contacts, whether it's face-to-face, obviously the best, telephone calls, the second best, but literally how many contacts are you making in a week? So if you're not happy, that's the number one action item. Get out and be with people. And I know we have to be a little bit cautious with COVID, but you know, I have people that will set up walking, you know, they'll go out and walk in the morning with someone. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to get around it. Let's not use COVID as an excuse.
I totally agree. And I also think, what I find too, is that a lot of people, that's effective. It's a contact sport. But the other one is, do you have strategies when it comes to communicating with people so that it makes it more advantageous to you? And I just released a podcast this morning on tips for better communication, because believe it or not, there's proper ways to communicate with people and things to say, and there's ways that you're just going to push people away. So if that's something that you want to know more about, we do have a podcast about that where I gave, I think, 7 different tips on how to just communicate better. And I loved it, Nick, you said it the best. The number one is face-to-face. The number two is on the phone. You know, the last one is text and email. And I think the more that we can pick up the phone and just reach out and communicate with people. And it doesn't, by the way, it doesn't have to be about real estate, does it?
Oh, no. In fact, you know, a lot of people say, well, you got to ask for the referrals. You got to do this. I simply say, you know, I call them loyalty. Like, you know, let's just show all your loyalty. How are you doing? Checking in, that type of stuff. It does not real. It's a bonus if someone says, hey, what's going on in the market, or how's work, this or that. And then we got to be ready for that. But no, you don't need to lead with that. Just check in. We want to just remain top of mind awareness.
I agree. And I always say, let's shift our mindset from transactional to relationship. When you're making those phone calls, is it a relationship phone call, or are you calling trying to get something? Because when you're calling trying to get something, that's all about you. Right. But when you're calling to make a relationship, that's all about them.
Yep.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, let's face it, the majority of the people, Michael, I think you'd agree with this, that we work with have call reluctance.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Very few people wake up in the morning and go, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to reach out to my people. And often you nail it. It's they're thinking about themselves and not thinking about the other people.
Yep, exactly. You know, how can you help? I was thinking about you. Congratulations. Happy birthday. How the heck are you doing in 2022? What's going on with the kids? I mean, there's so many reasons to just reach out to people. And a lot of people are really wanting that right now, too, because of the isolation we've been going through, like you said, with COVID.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I say is, you know, having had COVID myself, if someone has COVID, there's a lot of things can I get some groceries for you? Can I bring over drop off a meal in the front door? I mean, there's a lot of things we can help with.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Instead of just, yeah.
Yep. So. All right. So contact sport. So the next one we talked about where we see where people are struggling a little bit is we talked about they don't have a morning routine, right? They don't have a ritual. They don't have something that they're doing consistently every morning to get themselves in that state of mind to take on the day. Talk to me a little bit about that one.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I was working with a group of realtors yesterday and I said, trivia question, what's the key to a successful morning routine? And I heard a bunch of stuff and I said, okay, to me, the key to a great morning routine starts the evening before. When it's time to go to bed is, do you have a set time that you're going to wake up? Or is it, well, you know, whenever I feel like it, I'll crawl out of bed and then sort of get things going. But a great morning routine starts the evening before that says, hey, listen, I'm going to get up at this time and this is what I'm going to do.
Yep.
So if you find yourself crawling into bed at any time at night and with no plan in the morning, the chances of having a great morning routine are not very good.
And I'll drop this in the show notes too for everybody, but there's a great book out there called The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma. And he walks you through, he calls it your hour, your morning hour, of just a really great solid routine that if you will get that dialed in, it's amazing how it sets you up for success for the day. Because I'm a true believer that your success starts the minute you step out of bed. And if you're not building a ritual or a consistent routine that allows you to be in that low positive state of mind, you're going to struggle throughout the day. And it just carries with you. I think our other good friend, Doug Simcox, says, you know, that energy you start the day with is what carries with you through the entire day. So do you want to start in a place of being, you know, in good energy, or do you want to start in a place of negative energy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing in the morning routine is, you know, I'll say in the perfect world is, we need to get the blood flowing, you know, so wake up, maybe gratitudes. You know, if I had to say the absolute perfect morning is wake up, do your gratitudes, affirmations, and then get your blood flowing. Yep. Easiest way, 30-minute walk. I mean, if you have other exercise type things, if it's yoga, meditation, whatever it might be, but literally like get the blood flowing, get going. And then have a set time that here's when I'm going to turn my real estate brain on. You may have an in-home office. That's okay. You may go to the office. That's great. But let's set a time that says, okay, here's my morning routine. And then boom, here's when my real estate world's going to start.
Yeah. And here's the other thing too. And I think you'd agree with this, consistency.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, it can't be once in a while, or sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. You know, that's a kind of world, and you're going to get kind of results.
And it's kind of probably not work.
It's going to kind of not probably work. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if you want a morning routine, a great resource would be Robin Sharma's got a great morning routine. The other one, you can read the book Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. That's another great book, and he has the acronym SAVERS, and he walks you through a great morning routine. Whatever's going to work for you, I guess, going back to just what I would take away from this podcast today is that, do you have consistency in that routine? And are you doing it, you know, at least 5 to 6 days a week? You know, it's okay if you take a day off, but, you know, at least 5 to 6 days, and you're building those really good, healthy habits.
You know, Michael, I want to say, just because brought up yesterday in a coaching call I had with a newer client, and was like, hey, you know, my kids wake up about 6:30. And then, you know, and then when I get home at the end of the day, I don't have enough energy. I get tired. I can't exercise. I said, hey, how about if we got up at 5 o'clock? And now, fortunately, the person had a spouse, significant other that was home. So when the kids are there, it was safe, you know, that type of thing. But I was like, why not 5? Well, that's when I'm in bed. And I'm like, no, how about give it a shot? So, you know, understand what your opportunities are and then go for it. The other thing I'll say is that, I like when you make that commitment for the morning routine, put it 21 days. After 21 days, then it starts to become easier and it almost becomes a habit.
Yeah.
Just hang in there for 21 days.
Yeah. And just keep doing it and track it. Right. And then, and the other thing I'll say too, is if you fall off, get back on as quickly as you can. Don't let more than 2 or 3 days go by where you're not doing it, because that allows your brain to go right back to its old habit.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So then the third one, Nick, we had is they can't control their schedule. And you know, it was interesting. I saw on Facebook the other day, someone said, hey, tell us what the great attributes are of real estate agents. And somebody in there said, when you jump through hoops and do whatever your clients want. And I had to completely disagree with that. You know, I think we have this myth in our industry that, you know, real estate agents work 24/7 and it's all about your clients and you can't let your clients know you have a life. And I loved it. We were just last week, you have actually a coaching client, Jason, and I loved what he said. He said, you know, I work with the people that are going to understand and respect that I have a life and I have a family. And, you know, I'm going to set my agenda first, and you'd be surprised how many people are going to go along with that and it's going to work out. We just got to get past this scarcity mindset that we have to jump through hoops for everybody.
Absolutely. You know, I'll give you some examples of like great time management. So, you know, all the coaching clients I have, they've all different, they're around the country. They're in the business for different number of years. The crazy thing is the people that are the busiest that I work with, like literally over 200 transactions in a year, we rarely ever have to change a coaching call. And these are people like 100 100 listings taken by themselves. And you know what? They have to control their schedule. So I always say play as if, right? No, we don't have to. Customer service does not mean immediate response. It does mean to respond, but it doesn't have to be immediate. So control your schedule. Another thing that we get caught in, I think, starts right away in the buyer consultation and the seller consultation. Let's say the seller consultation is, so you're interested in selling your house. We go through the questionnaire and then we set up, we go, when would you like to get together? Now, someone that does 200 transactions a year, do you think they say, when would you like to get together? Or are they going to say, are you available Friday at 1 o'clock?
Exactly.
You know, that's the beginning of controlling the process.
And you'd be surprised how many people, when you offer time slots, when you offer up time slots, they're like, oh yeah, that'll work. And maybe that one doesn't work, but you have another one because, and this goes back to what we're talking about, because you've time blocked your schedule. You know, specifically each week when you have those, what we call pockets of time that are dedicated to doing the business.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. And in fact, for the people listening, if you are on our Windermere path through the Windermere coaching program, which is our call every single Thursday at 10 o'clock that we offer up through that particular program that we have called the Windermere Path. Next Thursday, I'm going to be doing on the path call, I'm going to be going through time blocking. I'm just going to cover how you time block, why you time block, what time blocking looks like so that people can get a better understanding. Because I think a lot of people think that time blocking is time management and they are not the same thing. Those, they're very, very different.
Right? You know, two other little tips for controlling your schedule is try to protect your mornings. And I say in the ideal world, you have 2 hours of uninterrupted time. And a lot of you are going, oh my gosh, that's like fantasy land. But pretend as if you're sitting in the listing consultation in the morning between nine and 11. You're not going to answer your phone. You're not going to text. You're not going to email. You're just going to do your prospecting activities and that type of thing. Oh my gosh, you will knock it out of the park. And then the second tip I would say is anything appointment that you schedule, try to push to the afternoon. Whether it's I'm getting my nails done, getting the oil changed, listing appointments, showing buyers, try to push so craziness can happen in the afternoon, but productive, protected time in the morning.
I agree with you. And, you know, and on that too, I'll say, and I use this, I have a app on my phone called Focus Keeper. It's basically a Pomodoro clock. But the other thing I'll tell you is that, you know, none of us are capable of multitasking. In fact, the definition of multitasking is doing two things poorly. And I think that a lot of people are busy being busy and they think they're having productive time, but the problem is they're distracted. And so what I'll do is I'll set my Pomodoro clock for 45 minutes. And maybe that's 45 minutes of, you know, I'm going to make phone calls, 45 minutes. Maybe I'm preparing notes for a podcast, but that is focused, uninterrupted, non-distracted time. And then I give myself a reward. The timer goes off and I go get a cup of coffee. I walk around and then I come back and I set another focus schedule. And I will tell you, if all of you could get focused and just single task, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you remove the distractions.
Absolutely.
Okay, so number four, Nick, lack of communication throughout the transaction. And I love this one, post-closing.
Yes. So I want you to think about your past couple of transactions from the time you went under contract to the time of the closing, how many times did that buyer or seller call you? And often that call is not necessary, meaning we are behind what our client is searching for. We didn't do a great job of communication. Everyone, great customer service, very few, if any, calls happen to us between when we go under contract and closing, right? Often people, I see clients are like, Nick, what should I get for a closing gift? What should I get for a closing gift? And I'm like, you know what the best closing gift is? A smooth, amazing communication throughout the transaction and no surprises.
Yes.
Let's look at that first. Then the second part of communication is post-closing communication. If we view this as a transaction, oh my gosh, I got my Windermere the check came into Windermere, I got paid and I'm done and it's off to the next. No, that's not who we want to be. So after the closing, it is especially on a buyer side, is it 7 days? Is it 21 days? Is it 30 days? Is it 60 days? When are we going to, and how often are we going to reach back out after they're closed? Right. That to me is a really critical part of our communication.
Well, and some of the people that I coach, Nick, they have just amazing post-closing checklists that are dialed into their calendar. So when they close with a buyer, it's like, I've got my 1 week call or my 3 day call. I've got my 1 week call. I've got my 2 week call. I've got my 1 month call. I've got my 3 month call. I've got my 6 month call. I've got my real estate review scheduled. They know they're going to be getting it right. And then they go into my flow program and then they're invited to my client appreciation party. And then they're on my pop by schedule. It's just amazing. And what they realize, and these are agents that are churning a transaction a week. And people say, how on earth are they doing that? And says, you know how they're doing it? They have a process and they have a system and they do it consistently every single time. And their communication is phenomenal.
Yeah. You know, I'll give you an example. A coaching client's like, oh my gosh, Nick, I was thinking about these people in the transaction and I was just ready to call them and they called me. And I said, you know what? You're late. You were too late.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. You know, why did we wait that long? You know? So just think about those calls. And some of you may be doing a fantastic job. You have systems in place, maybe email communication, whatever it is. But let's think about when we go under contract to close, let's be in front and not be behind.
Yes. And the other key point there, Nick, is that, you know, your next transaction is embedded in this transaction. And I think that too many times we underestimate the power of those weekly check-in phone calls with our active clients, where we're setting the schedule and we're letting them know right at the beginning of the transaction, hey, by the way, is it okay if we set up our communication schedule each week? I'd like to set up a time each week where we touch base. There may be things that we have to talk about. And by the way, if there's nothing for us to share with each other because everything is going smoothly, I'm still going to call you, but I'm going to ask you this. Hey, is there anything you need? Right? And now, wow, that's just being so proactive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. The last one, Nick, the last one, here we go. Scarcity mindset with limits.
So the beautiful thing about real estate is there, no one can tell you what sort of the tap out on what you can make in this industry. No one. So just remember that. That there are no limits, but often I find coaching clients when I start working with them, I may hear, oh my gosh, Nick, I'm at 20 transactions. I want to go to 30 transactions, but my goodness, I don't want to do 40. And I'll dig in and say, why not 40? Because Nancy in my office, her life is miserable. It's all about work. She doesn't care about the family. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. We can do 40 transactions. We can do 60. We can do 100. We can do 200 transactions and have an amazing life. Okay. You have to change. You have to adapt. You have to grow within your business, but do not set a limitation on what you can accomplish in this business because you have to compromise your life. I can give you many examples that is not the case. So the second thing is, I think the scarcity mindset right now is some people looked at this year and put a business plan together with a scarcity mindset. Oh my gosh, we're not going to have any inventory. Oh my gosh, all the reasons why they don't want to throw a goal out there or a goal that's higher than they've ever achieved before. And when in doubt, when in fact, guess what? Yeah, maybe our year has started off a little slow in inventory, but you know what? I have a feeling March, there's a good chance March is going to blow up, like totally blow up. So always check in with yourself, you know, are you on the scarcity side or the abundant side? See, the abundant person, let's go back to what I initially said. The scarcity person is hunkered down right now in hibernation.
Yes.
There's nothing to do. The abundant people are like, I'm going to plant seeds like no tomorrow. I'm going to water those seeds, cultivate those seeds, because there's going to be a time for harvest. I can't wait.
Yes. You know, in fact, and I just did a podcast with Corey Whitaker and, you know, you think about it, and she had a really tough 2021. And she tells her story in that podcast. And she had her, she had one of her most amazing years. I think she went over 70 transactions. And I think GCI was at about 1.8 million. And she said she could have gone into a scarcity mindset with everything going on in her life. And just said, this isn't going to happen. Or she could stick with what she knows to be true is that, hey, if I run my systems, if I run my processes and I do what I know I need to do and not focus on the outcome, but focus on the activities every single day, which is what we've been talking about, the production will take care of itself.
Absolutely. You know, I'll give you an example too. I have a coaching client I worked with 3 years, and last year, guess what? His first quarter was a little slow, only 2 closings in the first quarter. But you know what? He ended up with 42 at the end of the year. And so do we always know exactly when it's going to come? I look back and go, I gave him kudos because the first quarter, even though the business, like the results weren't happening, we could track his activities and he was knocking it out of the park.
Right.
Rather than hunkering down and poor me, he was knocking it out of the park. And guess what? Then it appeared second, third, and fourth quarter.
And you know, one thing, Nick, you know, we said the scorecards, you know, what other thing, in my opinion, when coaching, I think is so critical is a warm and hot tracker that actually shows you the actual income that comes from those individuals. And are you looking at it daily?
Oh, right? For sure. I mean, I always say, you know, you have to take 10 minutes, whether it's you have your hot warm list on your whiteboard or it's wherever it is, you're making a big mistake by not looking at that for 10 minutes, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so those are the 5. So just to review, forget that real estate's contact sport. You got to get out there. You got to have communication. Build a morning routine that's going to work for you that you're consistent on. You know what? Time block. And if you want to know more about time blocking, on our Windermere Path call next Thursday, I'm going to go over that as well. In fact, if you're listening right now, I did a little piece on time blocking in Fridays with Fanning, just this last one that came out. So you might want to look at that one. Folks, get a communication schedule that lasts through the transaction and then get good at post-closing, because that's really when the relationship starts. And that's where you get that referral mindset of business. And then, you know what, scarcity mindset with the limits. And I'll tell you what, a great book to read, and I'll even throw this in the show notes, is the book that just came out by Trevor Mowat called Getting Back to Neutral. Sometimes we need to shift into neutral when we start spiraling out of control, so we can be really aware of where we are right in the moment and say, okay, what do I need to do now to get to where I want to go? And not let that limiting mindset or that fear mindset take over our mind, because that can just spiral out of control sometimes. Nick, anything you want to add for anything else before we end?
No, that's it. I always say, I think this will be another interesting year in real estate. And often I always say, hey, what's the F word in real estate? And it's flexibility.
Yep.
We can, if you have a great morning routine, time block, we can navigate whatever and you can be successful this year. So
totally agree.
A pleasure, Michael. Thank you. Well,
hey, Nick, thanks for taking the time. Everybody, thank you for listening to our Ask a Coach podcast at Windermere. And again, if you like what we're doing, please let us know, make comments, please feel free to share this. If you'd like to know more about our coaching program, you can go to windermerecoaching.com. We'd be happy to talk to you about the possibility of helping you achieve and build work-life balance as well. And we always like to end our podcast by saying, be awesome and help somebody and make it a great day. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our podcast. We want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you found it useful or helpful, please feel free to share it and also give us a rating. Also, if you think that Windermere Coaching might be right for you, please feel free to just look us up at windermerecoaching.com. And we'll end by saying this: be awesome and help someone. Make it a great day.